Vegas Golden Podcast. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Justin Emerson, and we have a series, Vegas versus San Jose, first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs next week. And not to tease you, but we're not going to talk a whole lot about that today because we're going to have a playoff bonanza next week. Let's go ahead and finish off the regular season on today's podcast. Still two games left, even though the Golden Knights are all set into place for the playoffs. Arizona coming into town tomorrow, and then finishing, we're recording on Wednesday, always important to note. And then Saturday, going to Los Angeles to finish the season. Not a lot to determine here. You just hope no one gets hurt, and you hope you kind of sharpen yourselves for the playoffs, I would assume. I mean, it wasn't very long ago. The Golden Knights just got out of that five-game losing streak. What's the overall tone of the team? How do you think they're looking at this, Justin?
Well, I think just like you said, I think that goes into it. Just the fact that you got to play like a weird little dance these last couple of games is you want to make sure that everybody's good to go. You want to make sure everybody's healthy. You want to make sure that everybody's playing well, but the games themselves don't matter. Like if they lose on Thursday and Saturday, I don't think anybody's going to be feeling too bad about the team around the team as long as they're playing well. A big thing that they keep mentioning is habits. That's like been the key word this week, is they keep wanting to get into good habits and play well and just be sharp going into next week. And whether that translates to wins and losses, you know, it mattered for the first 79 games of the season, but now not so much.
Habits, I like that. I think that even though these games don't matter, there might be a little more intrigue than there is usually in a situation like this. And I think the reason is because we just haven't seen Marc-Andre Fleury in so long in goal. You got to expect that he's going to play at least one of these two games to kind of give him a little bit of look after taking a few weeks off.
Yeah, they sent Max Lagasse back down to the AHL. So right now, Subban and Fleury are the only goalies on the team. So that would lead you to believe that Fleury's ready to go if he's gonna dress, barring something, tomorrow, Thursday. He's gonna dress, and if he's ready to dress, I imagine he's gonna play. We were talking to him today. It sounds like he's good to go. He said that he wants to, you know, he'd like to get a game or two in after not playing for a couple of weeks. It's hard to blame him for that. Just get his legs underneath him, get the timing of it. And like he said today, you know, you can be in the weight room, you can be in practice, you can simulate game all you want, but that intensity isn't there. The, you know, playing opposing players, it's good to just, you know, it's going to be good for Fleury to get a game or two in before the postseason starts. My guess is he plays Thursday and then they give Subban Saturday to get Fleury all good to go for next week.
Yeah, I would think the smart money's on that. Let Fleury finish off the regular season at T-Mobile Arena. Give Subban one last run Saturday at Staples Center. Fleury has not played since March 15th, 2-1 win over Dallas. It's been so long that I think it might be easy to forget that, I mean, he was playing as well as he has been all season.
Yeah.
Before he stepped out for a while, the Golden Knights had won six straight, I think, or he had won six straight.
Yeah, he had allowed four goals in five games, so he was playing really well, and it's almost a bit of a shame. I mean, he did have a baby in there, so I guess he's probably all right taking a game or two, but I mean, he missed nine games. To be playing that well, and then for, you know, to get a little banged up and get a little hurt right before that, I mean, that, it's tough. You want to play in a rhythm. He was playing, like you had said, as well as he had all season long, and then he had to miss nine games. So we'll see what he's going to do tomorrow, assuming he does play. And I don't think anybody's too worried about him for next week, though.
Even if he does get lit up by the Coyotes, I still think the check mark would be in his favor if you're breaking down the kind of strengths of this first round series against San Jose. Because on the other side, the Sharks goalie, Martin Jones, has been had a bad stretch, right? I mean, hasn't had a good year altogether, but part of their recent slide has been him. So I think I think Fleury is a big factor, obviously, in this series, but I think that he might be the biggest advantage the Golden Knights have just looking at who he's gonna be matched up against.
Yeah, I think you're right. Goaltending edge will definitely go to Vegas, but like you said at the start of the show, you don't want to tease all the stuff we're going to talk about next week.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, but just little very surface level.
Yeah, even, I mean, Fleury hasn't played in what did you say, 20 some odd days, whatever it is. I mean, he's just going to need a game or two. He's done this before. He's been in the league for 100 years, it seems like. So he's played in the playoffs plenty. He knows his own body and his abilities better than anybody. So he's going to know that he's ready to go. And that's the important thing there going into next week.
Any other players that we should keep an eye on, you think, over these last two games that might need a little tune up? I guess this is our main topic today, is just these last two games and what the Golden Knights are looking for. It's hard for me to come up with that one other guy to look for, but maybe you're in a different camp.
I think it'll be interesting to see some of the players that, maybe some of the older players, some of the players that throw their body around a little bit more. A guy like Derek England is a guy that I think of that maybe giving him, Thursday or Saturday off wouldn't be the worst thing. I wonder, you'd almost think that tomorrow, Thursday, would be the day that players would take off just to kind of have a couple of days, and then Saturday kind of just almost a dress rehearsal for the postseason. So, maybe a guy like Derek England, who's played all but 8 games this season, could have a day. Nate Schmidt has played every game since his suspension, and he matches up against the top lines every single night, so giving him a night off wouldn't be the worst thing. Jonathan Marchessault and William Karlsson are the only guys on the team that have played every day. Maybe at this point in the season you just kind of give them that little badge of honor that they played every game. Braden McNabb sat recently. That was one that I would have said. Shea Theodore sat not that long ago. Pierre-Edouard Belmar's he's been in and out of the lineup. Alex Tuck has played since the beginning of the year when he was hurt. So, I mean, you can make a case for just about anybody. And I think that they're going to try to get, these, like I just said before, I mean, these players know I feel like they can be honest at this time of year. Everybody wants to be in every day, but it wouldn't be the worst thing to, to take a breather and just get ready for next week.
Certainly seems to be the case and makes sense. I guess the one guy fans might be pining to see in these last two games, it's the only time he will be eligible, the newest Golden Knight. Once again, it's Wednesday, but the Golden Knights this morning, sign Jimmy Schultz, highly coveted college player from St. Cloud State. Seemed like there were a few teams in on him. The Golden Knights linked from the beginning, but they officially get the defenseman on the roster, and he'll be eligible to play in these last two games. However, not in the playoffs.
Yeah, a lot of teams were in on him, just like you said. Minnesota was really big on him. Islanders, Blues, Flyers. These were teams that wanted him, and you can see why. He was the conference player of the year, the NCHC player of the year at St. Cloud State. He won the Defenseman of the Year award. He was a finalist for the Hobie Baker, which is college hockey's Heisman Trophy, as he was last year. This is a really good player. He was the captain of St. Cloud State, which was the number one overall seed going into the NCAA tournament last year. It's another defenseman that the Golden Knights now have as a prospect, and they're kind of stockpiling them. They've got some really good ones in their system, whether it be Nick Hague or Zach Whitecloud or Bischoff, or I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. It's not intentional. They're stockpiling defensemen. They're doing a good job of that. Schultz, like you had said, he is eligible for these last two games of the season. He will not be eligible for the postseason. He will be here for morning skate tomorrow, and I would expect him to play. I think he gets into the lineup.
Yeah, get a look at him. See, might as well, if this is the only time he can.
Right. Plus, it'd be easy. I mean, he's a guy that you can put in if you're trying to sit a defenseman. A guy like Schmidt, who, plays on the left side. You just throw Jimmy Schultz into his spot in the lineup, and if he plays great, awesome. And if he plays terrible, well, you've got a summer to work on it with him.
I think you touched on two very important things there. One, and the one that's actually important, is that, the Golden Knights still are stockpiling these prospects. I think they made some of these trades at both deadlines and got rid of some guys. And I know some fans feared long term that, maybe they're not as in good of a position as you would have thought they would have been being an expansion franchise. But by no means are they near the bottom of the NHL as far as what they have in the future. I mean, they still have, they've been really proactive with both these college players and, their farm system, I guess, so to speak. I don't know if you call it that in hockey, I was at a loss for words, but I think that's still more of a strength than I think might be perceived right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they have 2 years worth of draft picks now, and that none of them have come up and made an impact at the NHL level. Like, they, you know, that first year, there's those first three draft picks, Cody Glass, Eric Brännström, Nick Suzuki. They traded away two of them. Suzuki went to Montreal in the Pacioretty deal, and then Brännström went to Ottawa in the Stone deal. But Cody Glass is still there. Nick Hague is still there. Lucas Alvinus is still there. Like, these are guys that were in that draft class, and then they had last year's draft class, and even though they didn't have a first-round pick, they still brought some guys up. So they've still been building this system, which I think a lot of people expected from an expansion team 2 years ago, that to focus on the minor league and the development side of it. But they have these veterans and these talented players at the NHL level, so there has not been a rush to bring these guys up. So all these prospects that they had are still prospects. They're still in the system. So yeah, to get to your point, I think that they are still deep at the levels below the National Hockey League, and signing a guy like Jimmy Schultz just adds to that. I expect him to he'll be a restricted free agent at the end of the year, so he'll need a new contract, just with the way that entry-level contracts work for older players. So I expect that we will see him in the NHL as soon as tomorrow, and I would imagine he sticks with the big club and breaks camp with them next season as well.
Yeah, you would certainly think something is in place, or that's going to happen. The other thing, not as important that you said, but just to fulfill the cliche of you learn something new every day, I had no idea about the Hobie Baker Award, the Heisman Trophy of college hockey. Who knew? I didn't know. And then I research it really quickly, just typing in, it jumps out the second ever Hobie Baker winner, Mr. George McPhee. Did you know that?
I didn't know that he won the award. I didn't know that he was the second ever winner of it.
It was only introduced in 1981. And George McPhee won it in 82 at Bowling Green, of course.
I did know that he won it. I did not know that he was the second ever winner of it. But yeah, I mean, it goes to the player of the year nationally. I'd be very surprised if Jimmy Schultz did win it. There's plenty of other, you know, players, particularly there's one at UMass, but this isn't a college hockey podcast. Yeah, I mean, Schultz a big get. He was coveted, and it's a good get for the Golden Knights.
St. Cloud State does have one Hobie Baker winner, if you're keeping track at home, so he would be the second. But
who was it?
It was Drew LeBlanc, who's not currently in the NHL, but looks like he spent a little bit of time with the Blackhawks. Oh. And by a little bit of time, I mean two games.
Oh, well, that's why I didn't know who it was.
So welcome to the Hobie Baker podcast. Anyway, I guess that will
probably
be
going to be Cale Makar this year from UMass. Just for
there, you go, Cale Makar. I like that. We'll keep an eye on the Hobie Baker when it happens. But we've already escaped the fortress, so why just make it official and get to our actual topic for this segment? Let's break down quickly the two remaining playoff races. Still a couple wild card spots not clinched. The Western Conference, Colorado and Arizona, who of course the Golden Knights play tomorrow. In contention for that final spot. Certainly looks like it's going to be Colorado. It would take quite a collapse for them not to win it.
Yeah, they'd have to lose their last two games in regulation, and the Coyotes would have to win both of their games. So not impossible, but not likely.
Yeah, so that's probably not the more intriguing one. The Eastern Conference is where things look like it could actually go in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh probably in, not officially clinched, but they're at 97 points. Carolina, Columbus, and Montreal have kind of been jockeying for position for a long time now. Some movement last night. Carolina and Montreal both won. Columbus lost. So right now you've got Carolina a point ahead of the other two. I guess just simply, who do you got? Who's going to be the odd man out here?
Man, this is fun. Yeah, there are three teams within a point of each other. Montreal, I think Montreal is the odd team out here. They are the one who does not have that tiebreaker, that regulation overtime wins. They can't catch Columbus anyway. They could catch Carolina. Oh, man, it's close. Just for the sake of fun, though, like, Carolina's fun. They do the storm surge. They haven't been to the playoffs in a decade. It's a market that maybe needs an injection of life in Carolina, as opposed to Montreal, which is a pretty decent hockey market, I suppose. Carolina would be fun. Columbus, man, you almost just want Columbus to get in just for the sake of everything they did at the trade deadline, right? Like, they went all the way in, and if they miss out, they're in trouble. So Carolina, Columbus currently in. Let's just say that those are the ones that do it. They have the better goal differential. They have more wins than Montreal does. Montreal's sticking around. They've lost a couple more games in overtime to help them out. But let's go with Carolina and Columbus. I think that's the one I'd like to see anyway.
Yeah, as much as I'd love to be contrarian, I think that's really the only way to go. There's no doubt in my mind.
For you. They're just not as exciting as the other two.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind they're not as good as the other two. And then you combine that with the tiebreaker, which you already mentioned, and the schedule. It just depends on who's playing for what at this point of the season, so it doesn't mean everything. But no matter how you slice it, Montreal's got a tougher final two games.
Yeah, they got to play Washington.
At right? Washington and Toronto.
Yeah.
Carolina has New Jersey and Philadelphia, and Columbus has the gift of the Rangers and the Senators, both on the road, however.
Wow.
So just schedule-wise, I think that schedule-wise, strength-wise, everything just points to Montreal being left out.
Yeah, I mean, Montreal is the one that doesn't control its own destiny here. The other two, if they win their last two, they're in. Regardless, Montreal would need to probably win their last two and get a little bit of help. So, go Canes, go Jackets.
Exactly. I think it's also fair to say that neither of us are calling for two straight regulation Avalanche losses to lose their spot in the playoffs. They have Winnipeg and San Jose.
Both teams, well, I mean, Winnipeg's still playing for something. San Jose's not. San Jose's going to be in the same spot that Vegas is, just getting everybody together. Arizona's got to play Vegas, and then home against Winnipeg, who Winnipeg might still be playing for something on Saturday night. They might be playing for that. I mean, that Central Division is still
96-96 right now.
Yeah, Nashville. 90, and St. Louis has a game in hand, and they're only 2 points back. So Winnipeg is currently in first place. By Saturday, they could be fighting to stay out of third. So, yeah, they're all still playing for something. So it's gonna be tough for Colorado to lose that spot, I think. Because even if they can get to overtime just once, then they'll clinch it. They did fall down 2-0 to Edmonton last night, and then came back and beat them up 6-2. So I really thought Arizona was gonna pick up some ground last night, but it went the other way.
Yeah, could have added some intrigue going into the Golden Knights game, but it wasn't meant to be. So we've both got Colorado, and we've both got Carolina and Columbus. Kind of a tongue twister there with all the C's. We've mentioned the last two games, but just to make it official, the Golden Knights against the Coyotes and against the Kings. Let's talk about how we see them going.
Sure.
We were kind of talking pre-podcast, or you were at least, about how it's kind of hard for the Golden Knights to shut it off and not give their all kind of in these last two games, that the players are still going to be kind of by nature going all out,
yeah,
even if they shouldn't be. And you got to think, if they are, they're going to be pretty solid favorites to win both these games.
It's hard to just say, okay, don't try. Like, I mean, these are guys that have played hockey for their entire lives, and they're going out there and trying to win, and it's hard to just say, hey, go at 70% effort or whatever. Stop blocking shots. Stop taking hits into the board. Stop doing whatever. So Fleury comes back on Thursday. They're going to face a desperate, desperate Coyotes team that you expect to come out of the gates firing, a lot like Minnesota did on Friday against the Golden Knights. But I just, yeah, I agree with you. I think Vegas is just a better team than both of them. I guess it depends on who plays. But with Fleury back in, presumably on Thursday, and then the Kings, who have checked out this season, which, maybe I shouldn't say that, just the way that they played against Arizona last night. But, I think Vegas will finish it off with two wins in a row here to kind of roll into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think there's just so much weird factors at this point of the season. Like you said, we don't know who's going to play, who's not. I guess just to be a little bit different, I'll say Vegas goes 1-1. You could easily see them losing one of these games if some guys sit. If maybe Arizona gets that boost, thinking they still have a chance tomorrow, maybe that's the one they lose. We don't really know what we'll get out of Fleury. I certainly don't think there's going to be anything to be alarmed with either way, or anything to get overly excited about,
If
they pull them both out. But I'll say 1-1 so we can have a little bit different.
All right. Yeah, they lose 5-1 on Thursday. I don't think anybody's going to be panicking.
Exactly. Then to sign off, this might actually be the most suspenseful part of the podcast for me, the part I'm looking forward to the most, the Shining Knight competition, where you have a huge lead, but I really have no idea who won last week. I'm going to have to trust you again, maybe since you're the official scorer. Maybe that's why you're ahead so big. But I believe
Absolutely.
We had Alex
it helps.
Tuck
it helps.
Versus Nate Schmidt. Shoot it at me. Who won? I had Alex Tuch. You had Nate Schmidt.
I think you got it, Case.
Oh,
I think
wow. You got it. The second, not, another one on the board, number two.
I will say it was not a high-powered week like our Stone Carlson week was. Schmidt did not record a point this week. Alex Tuch had an assist against Edmonton. Alex Tuch had a little bit better possession numbers. He was sitting at 57% Corsi this week. Nate Schmidt was at 44%, very uncharacteristically low for him. So Schmidt, not a great job this week as far as possession numbers go. So in what was not the most high-powered week, I think you're getting back on the board this week, my friend.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going. I was thinking before the podcast, like, did either of these guys do absolutely anything? I couldn't remember anything from the three games. So I was going to say, let's go to the Corsi numbers and see what they say. And clearly, Tuch was the winner there. So I believe I'm down 4-2 or 5-2, something like that.
I believe it's 5-2.
Okay,
now.
Not even close. But to make it official, I mean, we got to keep going two games.
Oh, yeah.
I believe I have the first pick. I made you pick first last week.
You wanted to defer last week. So I tried to give it to you, and you made me choose.
A little bit
of gamesmanship here.
I know who I'm taking. I'm not necessarily doing this because I think he's going to have a huge game, but just kind of a tip of the hat. Because I knew this guy was having a good year, but looking at the overall team stats, I had no idea his numbers were this high. Cody Eakin with 22 goals and leading the team of the forwards in plus minus at plus 20. What is going on? I mean, I knew he was having a really good year, that he was better than last year, but that's just like he's popping off the team stats page right now.
He is. He got a really good boost from earlier in the year when Stastny was hurt and he was playing between Tuch and Pacioretty on that second line. But he's kept it going. He's been playing really well. His shooting percentage is at 19%. So, you know, maybe he's due for a little bit of regression, but right now, I mean, he's shooting a hot stick. He's got 22 goals. So, in case you're curious, that 19% shooting percentage is his career is 11.7. So a little high this year, but that's not to take anything away from him, because what you've done doesn't take away from what you might do in the future doesn't take away from what you've already done. So yeah, Cody Eakin having a tremendous year. He is sixth on the team in points, tied for sixth with 40. And they're doing it all at even strength too. He only has 4 power play points this year, only 1 power play goal. So, does have three shorthanded goals. Did you know that? He's leading the team. 3 shorthanded goals. How about that?
Wow.
But,
impressive.
Yeah, good. I like that pick. Cody Eakin's having a great year. So, who do I want to go with? You know, I'm really tempted. I really want to pick Jimmy Schultz.
I thought about it. That was my runner-up.
just for the heck of it. Let's see. I'm up by a lot. When we go into the playoffs, do we reset or do we keep it? Do we keep it with where we're at?
We might have to have that discussion off air to see what we want to do. Yeah. I think we should keep it going in some form, but I don't know if we get to choose whoever we want or how we'll do it.
Okay. Let's see. All right. I'm going to go with another defenseman. I'm going to go with Shea Theodore this time. I had Nate Schmidt last week. Theodore has been he's been playing great. He's got 37 points, 12 goals, both career highs. He's played really well lately. He moved over to the right side, paired with Braden McNabb, which has allowed him to kind of open up his offensive game a little bit. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Shea Theodore. So Theodore versus Eakin this week.
All right, seems like a good matchup. Hopefully they both play in both games.
What if they both get scratched? But
there's no guarantee even of that, but that is how it goes in the last week of the regular season, especially when you have your playoff positioning all locked up. As Justin said earlier to the Golden Knights right now, this is just all about habits.
And that was keep everybody healthy. That's really the only goals. Make sure everybody's comfortable going into the hockey that matters next week.
That was for us, too. That's why we podcasted. It was for the habits. Yeah, we want to do that. And we will come back, keep kicking that habit early next week. As I said earlier, everything playoffs, Golden Knights and otherwise, on Vegas Golden Podcast early next week. In the meantime, enjoy these last two games. Enjoy Jimmy Schultz. Should be interesting to see what he does. And we will keep an eye on Eakin versus Theodore. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks, as always, for listening to Vegas Golden Podcast.